present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Sutton Post, read by Carolyn Brown.
A Tadworth man who was part of a group of louts who broke into a house and caused £6,000 worth of damage has walked free from court after a judge heard how his life is now back on track with his new job as a demolition worker.
Our thanks to Janet Mapp for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Sue Perkins. And opposite them on my left, Simon Evans and Andy Hamilton. Right, Jeremy, here's a shocking story. Which defeated deputy has donated his resignation?
Oh, God, what happens to them when they get in that building? Something goes wrong with them. Perfectly dedicated, honourable, intelligent people who want to do good and change the world go into that building by the river and go weird and bad and wrong. I used to know Peter Hay. I did a benefit for him when he was trying to win the election in Putney against David Mellor, I think, many years ago. I was young and pretty in those days. And he was a great man, Peter Hay. And the most pathetic thing is that all that money on trying to become deputy leader, in which he became... It's not much of an aspiration, though. I mean, that's a tragic thought, that he spent 10 years thinking, oh, God, I would just love to be John Prescott. He came fifth, and now look at him. Terrible. Tragic. Because people go into Parliament and think, I'm really going to make a difference in politics, and you think, you should have stuck with disrupting rugby tours, because you're having a real impact in those days.
And what I quite like is that Peter Hayne said he'd quit the Cabinet in order to clear his name, and you think, well, nothing says innocent, does it, like resigning and having the police come after you. It's quite clear, I would have thought. Where would you spend £100,000 in your campaign to be deputy leader?
I didn't see any posters, did you?
No.
I didn't see...
Were there hats or badges or anything?
He must have gone to the shop. You know, you do, don't you? You think, oh, I need a paper, and you go to the shop, and you think, oh, we need bog roll as well. And then, oh, could do some peanut butter, some, oh, tin foil we need. Oh, fridge light. And then, you know, that's about 50 grand gone, isn't it?
I wonder whether the fictional think tank even bothered to pretend to be having brainstorming sessions in between laundering their 100 grand. Did they sit around and just go... So, what do you think? I don't know, a couple of Venn diagrams. We better use this flip chart.
Pie charts are always good.
Pie charts, yeah.
Because in the old days, they used to have a real tank, didn't they? They'd all get in there.
Did you see that George Galloway has resigned from his own party?
No.
He's resigned from Respect. I love saying that. It makes me sound like I'm cool, but it's about the name.
It's not the first time he's left Respect behind, though, to be fair.
Anyway, works and pensions and Welsh Secretary. Such a natural combo. Peter Hayne has resigned from the Cabinet after the Electoral Commission referred his deputy leadership campaign to the Metropolitan Police because he failed to report all his donations until several months after the deadline. Oh dear, report it to the police because they're a bit miffed with the government right now. It's not going to go well, is it? Hello, hello. What have we got here then? So 2 points to Jeremy. Sue, what crashed and burned this week?
The American stock market.
It is.
The global economy. I know, I have to say, absolutely nothing about the stock market. And in that sense, I'm exactly in the same position as the people running the stock market. I don't know what it is. It might be like a farmer's market. Maybe they meet first Thursday of every month in a supermarket car park. There's a massive fight for parking spaces. Two women in 4x4s fight almost to the death. A lot of the best produce goes early. The free-range chicken flies off the shelves. That's how free-range it is. And you're left with an artisan baker sort of wielding a badger sandwich, which you reluctantly eat because you feel guilty and then throw up in the bus on the way home. I don't know if it does work like that. We might have a recession here. We might not. It's
Do you want me to explain it to you?
Don't explain it. How bankers and CEOs rule the world, with pure tedium. It's so utterly soul-destroying that no sentient or decent person would want to know. That's why cocaine is so popular in the city, because one of the worst effects of cocaine is it makes people think that they're interesting. And that is why... It's not about the energy. That is why people in finance take cocaine, is to try and convince them that there is something even slightly interesting about what they do or what they have to say.
So does this mean you don't want me to explain it to them?
No, we don't want you.
Can you explain it using the medium of dance?
I'll explain it. See, it all started with Black Monday, which I think is the wrong name for it. Because what are they going to do when things get worse?
Yeah.
Are they going to call it, 3 weeks from now, we're going to have Jet Black Monday? Then extremely, the blackest of black yet Mondays.
Sable Monday.
Yeah, yeah. Obsidian Monday. But the good news is that although there was this big global crash, we've had the perfect outcome because it turns out that it was all the fault of one Frenchman.
Oh.
Who managed to mislay 3.5 billion or million.
Oh, is this the guy at Societe Generale,
yeah,
that one?
And there was a sort of lovely quote from his boss. People were asking him, who was this man? He said, oh, he was a junior employee. And they said, what wage is he on? He said, he's on 100,000 euros a year, plus, of course, his bonus. Although I'm not sure he'd be claiming his bonus this year.
Actually, did you see there was a best coverage of the whole thing was the front page of The Sun on Tuesday. And they had all the facts there. They had, you know, 77 billion wiped off the FTSE 100, worst drop since September the 11th. Market at its lowest, this, that and the other. In case you didn't understand any of that, there was a sad yellow smiley face.
The stock trader's emoticon.
It's always been a personal ambition of mine to actually start a run on the markets. Because it can't be that hard, can it? I mean, just surely it's just a question of starting the right rumour.
Yeah. Well, do it now.
So have a go.
Do
right.
it now,
okay.
Yeah.
Robert Peston told me, off the record, that Alistair Darling has sold Britain's entire gold reserves to some bloke who emailed him from Nigeria.
Fantastic. Well, the United States Federal Reserve made the biggest single cut in interest rates in 23 years to try and avoid a global recession following stock market crashes around the world, which in London saw £77 billion wiped off the market, money the country sorely needs to bail out Northern Rock. So 2 points to Sue. Simon, who wasn't arrested for obstructing the Queen's Highway this week?
This will be the...
filth.
The filth, yes. As I respect our policemen, Jeremy, and I will bring my children up to do the same. But they have taken the unusual measure of marching, and they have set some records, I believe. This is the first time that a major march in London has taken place, and both police estimates and those of the organisers, according to entertainment, have tallied. So that's encouraging. I don't know whether unemployed miners were asked whether they'd like to come along and do a spot of policing, just to sort of settle some old scores. But
I think they did stop a few coaches of police from coming south of Manchester. Yeah.
The police are disappointed that they are not having their pay backdated by the 3 months that the Scots police are enjoying, and that this makes their pay increase below the rate of inflation, although they have had above the rate of inflation increases for the last 12 years, and despite this, they get younger and younger every year. And I've no sympathy, frankly.
They're getting smaller as well, the cops, aren't they?
There used to be a height.
There used to be a height thing. And you used to look up, because I'm quite small, and you would look up to the Babylon in the old days. Whereas now, you just want to sort of pick them up and put them on a wall to get out of your way, don't you?
I mean, I'm 5 foot. Could I be a policewoman
yes.
now?
Yes, you could.
I'm 200 years old.
If you get any shorter, it'll be compulsory.
Oh, really? Police officers took to the streets of London to demonstrate against the Home Secretary's decision not to backdate their pay award. The protesting police were all off duty. You'd never see a copper on duty walking up and down a street. They've got paperwork to do. I have a quick supplementary question, which anyone can answer this. Who is frightened of the Queen's Highway?
Sally Gunnell. I don't know.
No, that's the rest of us if she's been running past. Yeah. No. Who said this week that they were frightened of the Queen?
Oh, Jackie Smith.
Yeah. Ah, point to Andy.
Jackie Smith. She said that she didn't feel safe walking out on the streets at night. And you thought, well, of course you won't feel safe walking the streets at night. You're a government minister. You wouldn't be safe walking them in daylight.
Especially now she's got a police escort as well. That must be a fairly frosty relationship at the moment, isn't it? And slap in the face. You say, funny, I've just had one of those. Yeah.
And then she said she went on today and she clarified what she meant. And she said that the government was giving advice that it was probably best not to go walking in areas you didn't know after midnight. That's probably been advice since the dawn of time, isn't it? I mean, how many people think, oh, it's after midnight, I think I'll go for a walk in an area I don't know?
She also said, oh, I do go out sometimes. I bought a kebab the other day in Peckham. And you thought, well, all right. And she said it was about 5:30. I said, who the hell buys a kebab at 5:30?
Buying a kebab is far more unsafe than walking the streets after midnight.
So, extra point to Andy. Andy's question now. Andy, where did ram raiders cause a shopping spree?
I heard that Gordon Brown and Richard Branson are lovers. Now, that's the perfect rumour, isn't it? Because it's salacious.
Yeah.
So people want to repeat it, and it explains the Northern Rock deal. What was the question again, Sam?
Where did Ram Raiders cause a shopping spree?
Oh, come on. They're rubbish.
It is Gaza.
It is Gaza.
Oh, right.
Is that it? Because I'm not sure that's worth the whole 2 points.
No, no.
Why? We've pinpointed it on the map.
This will be Gaza because the Israelis have been, in that amusing way of theirs, they've been blockading Gaza and they wouldn't let anything through. Then they let fuel and medical supplies through. It's a rather serious story. I'm struggling to find a comic aspect. Can I just do another rumour?
They claim they'd gone out on a shopping spree. They sort of belittled it. They went over to Egypt and they said they were like locusts.
Oh, yes, right.
Which was very odd.
That was what the Egyptians said.
Yeah, well, yeah. Moses, of course, originally left Egypt because Dulcis were doing a sale on shoes.
Tony Blair's got this job, he's supposed to be, or position, of improving the political and economic situation of the Palestinians. And he didn't have the wit to come up with the idea of saying, you know that wall separating Gaza from Egypt? You know what you want to do with that, don't you? Blow that up. That's what we're going to do there. It wasn't his idea, because that was the obvious thing to do. And you think, well, finally, Hamas have found something intelligent to do with their explosives. Instead of dropping them on Israeli civilians in Sderot, blow the bloody walls up. And then you've got the other wall that goes all the way around the West Bank and strangles Bethlehem. Blow that up instead of people. And that's incitement to terrorism, but I'm talking about blowing up walls instead of people.
You sounded like a Palestinian Michael Caine, then.
But the good thing, Jeremy, is they can still only imprison you for 28 days, so you'll be, you know.
Yeah. You won't get anything out of me, though.
Surely you'd give up on Gaza, though, if Tony Blair hasn't sorted it out. I mean, frankly, if George Bush can't sort it out in an intelligent, orderly fashion, then...
What hope is there?
What hope is there? In response to an Israeli fuel blockade in Gaza, Palestinians allegedly, and I use the word allegedly here because I don't want to get involved, Palestinians allegedly from Hamas blew up the Gaza-Egyptian security barrier so that people could walk into Egypt to buy essential supplies. The besieged Palestinians swarmed into Egypt looking for goods to buy. Some were so desperate they even tried Argos. Is that a shop?
Yes.
Is it? I wouldn't know. I don't own a tracksuit. Right, so that's... What is it about man-made fibre? Honest to goodness, you stand behind those people, they spark as they walk. Now, it's... Oh, you've got 5 points each at the end of round one. I've done the scores correctly. How thrilling is that? We start round two with a notice on the website of the Astrological Magazine.
We regret to announce that the Astrological Magazine will cease with the December 2007 issue. This is due to unforeseen circumstances beyond our control.
And thank you to the very many people who sent that in. Jeremy, who wants to stop youngsters biting off more than they can chew?
This is the Fat Czar or somebody. The Education Minister. Who is the Education
Minister?
Ed Balls.
Such a pleasure to say.
Wants to stop kids being fat by getting them cooking, which might work. The trouble is that there aren't any kitchens left in schools. And there aren't any cooking teachers or anyone to help the children learn to cook. But this is the idea, that they get children interested in proper food, which is quite a good idea, which isn't the stuff of satire, you see. Government's not playing ball. They're supposed to come up with stupid ideas, which we then mock. But it's quite a good idea.
Nice for children to learn other knife-based skills in school.
Not allowed knives in school.
How will they cook if they're not
allowed? Well, there won't be anything that you have to carve or slice. It could be spoon-based cuisine. A lot of soup.
Yeah. Apparently, a lot of the current cookery lessons involve placing the ingredients on top of pizza bases, which is actually quite an important skill because they have often slid off by the time they're delivered. So there's.
What are they going to do without the kitchens? Because it's going to take a hell of a long time to grill a steak over a Bunsen burner, isn't it?
Making a salad in a fume cupboard.
What I liked is they had yet another one of those surveys and they said that 3/4 of all parents want children to also learn things that will equip them for life. And you think, I'm fascinated not by those 3/4, but the 25% who don't. 25% who don't know Latin and logarithms. That's all my little Henry will need. Don't you worry about that.
Kids ought to be prepared for life, though, shouldn't they? Because, I mean, really, we didn't know. In my young day, the girls used to do home economics and we had to do metalwork on the basis that we'd need to be bending a lot of metal at some point in our lives. We'd be needing to dismantle the railings to melt down to fight the Germans again. And you learn that. But really, they should teach you things like how to wire a plug. They do computer skills, but they don't teach you how to touch type. They should teach you car maintenance, all these things. And at the end, they should set up a sort of computer simulation. When kids leave on their last day, show them this sort of vortex computer thing and say, this is the greatest lesson in life we can show you. That is a downward spiral into disappointment and despair.
The other thing is, could they not just make kids better able to deal with being obese? Could they not have, you know, lessons in how to wash yourself with a sponge on a stick? You know what I mean?
How to see your own backside through a series of complex mirrors.
Emergency procedures for revolving doors.
That's exactly... Exactly the sort of thing. I don't think they're thinking it through. Education Minister Ed Balls has announced plans to provide compulsory cooking lessons in schools for 11 to 14-year-olds in a bid to tackle obesity. The public have even been asked to suggest dishes they should be taught to cook. On that basis, they'll be learning to make Big Macs, double Whopper with cheese and anything that comes in a bucket. Simon, who's not getting married in the morning?
Is this to do with the recent survey which suggests that people are no longer think that marriage is an important part of a relationship,
yep.
That cohabiting couples are every bit as valid a format for raising children, and if you have a step-parent, that's fine. They've clearly not been paying attention to Cinderella and Hansel and Gretel and so on. But as somebody who married quite recently, this is pretty gutting. It's a little bit like getting on the property ladder just in time for the crash. You know? If it's not important, I want to know why I spent over £1,000 on flowers. But there we are. Hey, since discovered, you can pick flowers up for free at any decent accident black spot around the country. But there we are. You never notice these things until it's too late, do you?
Apparently more than half of the people surveyed said that they thought that the actual wedding was really just sort of a big party, more a celebration.
Yes, it's more of a show trial than anything else, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Is this the same survey where people said that they were much more tolerant of people of other races, but they wouldn't want to work for an Indian?
Mm. Yeah.
And the same survey where they said that they felt that women shouldn't be imprisoned in the home, but they weren't going to do any housework for them.
Well, that was my favourite. 17% of men said that they were willing to be breadwinners. That's only 17%. But 80% said their partners did most of the housework. And you just think, feminism, what a waste of time that was.
There's some quite odd thinking about the marriage bit as well, where people, they say that it's actually worse for children to live with parents in conflict than for those parents to separate, but that it can be very bad if a divorce comes out of the blue for the children. So if you are thinking of divorce, do make sure you get involved in a few really loud arguments beforehand just to warm them up a little bit for the big event.
Explain it to your kids early on, you know, in that positive sort of slightly American way that a marriage is just a divorce that hasn't happened yet.
The annual study of British social attitudes has found that fewer than a fifth of the population think there is any real difference between being married and living together. Try telling that to Paul McCartney. So 2 points to Andy, and at the end of round two, Jeremy and Sue have got 9 points, but Simon and Andy are in the lead with 10. Before we start round three, here is a cutting from the South China Morning Post.
A man is seeking compensation from the government after being seriously injured by a branch that fell from the Tai Po wishing tree, where he was asking for good fortune.
And our thanks to Giles Burton for sending us that. Sue, who got his knickers in a twist this week?
The Crown Prince of sex, Jerry Paxman. turns out to be better briefed than we'd even imagined. He's written a letter. It's rather strange. He's written a letter to the head of M&S to say, your pants aren't what I'd expected. They wear out, don't they? Quickly, too. I've been using them and there's holes in all sorts of places. And this has prompted other people to take note and to follow his example. Jon Snow wrote to M&S saying that the prawn and mayonnaise sandwiches were just a little less prawny than he remembered from the old days. But it's created a big story. But The offshoot of this is that 100,000 extra viewers have tuned into Newsnight this week, right? 100, it's true, which of course is going to make the BBC think, oh, there's something in this pants stuff, we must do more, we must encourage more shows. Bottom Gear with Jeremy Clarkson investigating underpants for the gentleman over 40, or Spring Crotch with Bill Oddie in a hide.
I think it's obvious to me what's been going on. I mean, Paxman sent this email to Sir Stuart Rose, and it's been presented. He complained that the pants didn't offer enough support.
Level of cupping.
That's right. And this was interpreted as Paxman being a champion making a consumer complaint. It's not. It's a very crafty form of boasting.
Yeah.
That's what it is. He's saying, your flimsy Y-fronts, my wedding tackle is so industrial.
Yeah.
Then it's not up to the job.
Didn't Paxman say as well that this was a weighty issue, which, as you said, Andy, is another allusion to his magnificent news tool that he's concealed in his tight trousers.
There's a space hopper under there.
Yeah, exactly.
A private email Jeremy Paxman sent to Sir Stuart Rose, CEO of Marks & Spencers, complaining about the lack of support from M&S underpants was made public this week. Paxman is worried about falling standards. Well, I've never heard them called that before. Andy, who has been huffing and puffing about cultural awareness?
Oh, well, this is one of those stories about the sort of paranoia that's been created since 9/11 and what have you. It's a body, I forget, it's got some terrible acronym. It's
BECTA.
BECTA, something children, technology, I don't know, some organisation. And they were awarding prizes for products. And there was a storybook about the Three Little Pigs. And they said, no, we can't give that one a prize because the Three Little Pigs raises cultural difficulties because it would be offensive to Muslims. I don't quite understand how it would be offensive to Muslims. I suppose the wolf eats the pigs, doesn't he? So I suppose, you know, a hypersensitive person could say, you're saying that wolves can't be Muslims. But anyway, the Muslim Council of Great Britain turned around...
Just a second. I don't have the version where the wolf eats the pigs. No, he doesn't.
Yes.
They get away in the brick house.
No, only the third one.
Yeah. The pigs run away when the house is destroyed.
I've got the Disney one, OK? Yeah. And they're all really happy.
Only the clever pig lives. Yeah.
So he provides a safe haven to his two more foolhardy counterparts,
yes,
doesn't he?
Don't they?
They scurry off and stay with him in the brick house.
He dies, doesn't he? He comes down the chimney and they light a fire. Ken Loach version, that's what happens.
They're all horrible. The wolf gets
killed by the pig lighting a thing in the thing. Yeah,
but has he eaten two pigs by then?
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, that's not the political element of
the
story.
I'm sorry.
I think the Muslim Council of Great Britain or one of the sort of Muslim bodies actually turned around and said, do you know what? Muslims wouldn't be offended by that because it's a children's story about three little pigs. So I don't know whether common sense is prevailing.
But it's ridiculous. Are they going to do this to all of them? They're going to get rid of the dwarves in Snow White. I'll never work at Christmas again.
Nor me, Sam.
The point about pigs is just you can't eat them. If you're an Orthodox Jew or if you're a Muslim, you can't eat them because they're disgusting and they've got cloven things and they eat plop. Certainly in the Indian subcontinent, they are used as lavatories.
I'm sorry, but I'm Danish and it's just the most heretical thing I have ever heard. They plop, how dare you?
But I know that's the only thing. It's not that pigs are offensive per se. It's just that you're not supposed to have one in a sandwich.
Horrific.
Don't all animals plop?
No, but pigs eat plop.
They do not.
They do. In India...
It's piggist.
In India, the latrines are above pig pens, and the way of cleaning up the plop is that the pigs eat them. Eat the plop.
So no other animal would eat plop if you fed it plop?
How did we come up with the word plop?
I'm sorry if science is going over your head, Sam.
It's a very high toilet. It's got to be sort of a normal toilet's ground level. You've got to presumably sort of mount some kind of dais with pigs underneath in order to plop downwards for the pigs underneath.
You've got a problem with that?
Yes!
Anyway...
Well, I don't want to plop on a gallery, on a stage area.
Would you stop saying plop?
They presumably have walls around the top. It's not just a ladder with a pig underneath. I've not been. I've only glanced at the rough guide. That's all I know.
Do you think, very rough. Do you think when you call the plumber round, you go, oh, well, your pig's gone? That's the trouble. For
goodness sake, moving on.
Can I just say...
No, you can't. It's enough. You shush now. Enough
Where did
flopping.
Where did you read about this?
Oh, please.
It might have been a dream I had.
A digital remake of classic children's story, The Three Little Pigs, has been criticised by the government quango, Bechter, in case it offends Muslims. And the group also rejected the story called The Three Little Cowboy Builders. This story, which again has a pig feature, replaces pigs with cowboy builders, was meant to attract children to new digital technology. Children read the story and made up their own version using the software. And in one, the little pig builders complete the job on time and on budget. It was to teach children about fantasy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by somebody called N. Leonard, whose first name is just N. And it's from the Southend Echo. Keen anglers brave the cold weather for a 30-hour fishing stint as part of Greenswood Carp Society's first trip. The society from Greenswood School in Hockley camped out for 2 days to see who could catch the greatest weight of freshwater fish. Lewis Taylor, 17, won the event after he caught the only fish on the trip. Mike Salisbury, head of Year 11, said, "It was a really good trip."
Sue.
This comes from Jackie Garrard, and this is from the Dartmouth Chronicle. "Shame on the lot of you," writes Mrs. T. Wilcox in the Chronicle. "I'm fed up with people using outside my house for an excuse to relieve themselves, whether they are 2 or 75. Unfortunately, there is a piece of land between the barber's shop and the old post office, which is used time and time again as a toilet. How would the offenders like it if I'd return the action outside their front door? Please, 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 people, use the conveniences in the town, not my front passage."
Simon.
This is one from Sky News website. 64-year-old former miner and Labour MP Ronnie Campbell was approached and asked to wear something purple to support National Fetish Day. And he said he would wear a purple shirt. Unfortunately, he had no idea what the word fetish meant. When a local newspaper, the Sunday Sun, explained the real meaning to poor Ronnie, he said he thought the word meant worry, like worrying about backing the wrong horse. Before being told what the word means, Mr. Campbell was asked if he had any fetishes. And thinking it meant worries or concerns, he said, "I must have 1,000. But hand on heart, I couldn't tell you which one is the most important. Probably the horses."
Right, let's take a look at the final scores, which, however you add it up, can only mean that Jeremy and Sue have got 13 points, but Simon and Andy are this week's winners with 14. And before we leave you, here's a flyer sent in by Doug Prowse.
Cornwall Blind Association Bingo. Monday, the 21st of January, Elliot Hall, St Germans. Doors open, 7 p.m. Eyes down, 7:30.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Sue Perkins, Simon Evans and Andy Hamilton. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Carolyn Brown. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and Danielle Ward, with additional material by Jane Lammercroft. The producer was Ed Morrish.